Wise guys. Wise guys. Wise guys. These guys know sports. Wise guys. And welcome to Wise Guys. These guys know sports on this Tuesday, February the 4th, sitting alongside my co-host, Clarence Nixon. What's up, Clarence?
How you doing, man?
What's going on, man? How was your weekend?
It was a good weekend. Good weekend. Birthday coming up, so I'm ready for that. So I'm just waiting until next week.
Yeah, man. It was a big-time Super Bowl that took place on Sunday in South Beach. We got a big-time show ahead, Clarence. We got my man, Cam Chancellor, with Coach Cam, coming on a little bit later on in the show.
Yeah, you.
And we're going to talk about Ja Morant and Andre Iguodala and Steph Curry's beef a little bit later on the show as well. We're going to talk about the Lakers, emotional Lakers right now, as they're still dealing with the Kobe tragedy and so forth. But we got to start off in the NFL, in Super Bowl, in South Beach, as the Kansas City Chiefs beat the San Francisco 49ers 31-20 and won their first Super Bowl in 50 years. The Chiefs overcame a 10-point deficit for the third consecutive game this postseason, and the Chiefs outscored the Niners 21-0 in the fourth quarter. Patrick Mahomes was named Super Bowl MVP after the game. So, question for you, Clarence, as we open up the show. First topic, did the Chiefs win this game or did the Niners lose it?
This Chiefs won this game, man. They came back from a 10-point deficit with under 7 minutes in the fourth quarter. They wanted it more. They believe in Mahomes. They believed in him. And this Niners team was just a disaster in the fourth quarter. Like they had no answer for Patrick Mahomes. I just think this Chiefs wanted it more than the Niners, man.
You were wrong. No, here, man. And first and foremost,
they wanted it more.
First and foremost, I want to give credit to the city of Kansas City and the state of Missouri, not Kansas. Okay, we know, Mr. President. I want to give a lot of credit and show a lot of love for Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, you know, for winning the Super Bowl for the Kansas City Chiefs, the first time they won a Super Bowl in over 50 years. So, you know, I got to show a lot of respect to the Kansas City Chiefs because they really did overcome a 21-point deficit. But you can't have a major comeback without a major collapse, Mr. Nixon. So in this matchup, Kyle Shanahan gets the brunt of the blame from me. In this matchup, Kyle Shanahan, for some reason, he wasn't aggressive down the stretch. Like, he played scared to lose in this game. Now, when Kansas City pulled within 3 points on the following possession, on the first play, Mostert rushed for 5 yards. For some reason, second and third down, Kyle Shanahan caused 2 back-to-back pass plays. What are you doing, Shanahan? Like, you got to dance with what brought you to this moment. Why are you passing the rock when you know Jimmy G is not elite? You have to protect Jimmy G at all times. And in this matchup, for some reason, Kyle Shanahan got pass happy. He threw the ball 31 times in this matchup and only rushed for 22 carries. You have to run the football. You're going up against Patrick Mahomes. You have to close the deal in those key pivotal moments in the fourth quarter. And when you look at this matchup in the fourth quarter, basically Kyle Shanahan dropped the ball. For me, like, overall,
bad coaching.
It was bad coaching, and you're going up against the Kansas City Chiefs defense, who was ranked 26th against the run. You run the rock, and then at the end of the game, Clarence, even Honey Badger Tyrann Mathieu, he even admitted, he said, thank God they stopped running the ball.
Yeah.
Because he knew that they couldn't stop the San Francisco 49ers rushing attack. They ranked 26th against the run, so you had them right where you wanted them, being up 20-10.
Just play to your strength, man. I thought that was the game plan because they had a four-headed running back in the backfield. Why you didn't give him the ball? I think that Mahomes effect definitely affected this 49ers team.
It did, but here's the thing about Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan, in the last 2 Super Bowls, Clarence, when he's been the play caller, on 7 possessions, in the fourth quarter, he hasn't scored a single point. He's been outscored 46-0. When you go back to Super Bowl 51 against the Patriots, he was outscored 25-0. And in that game, he called 9 pass plays, 4 rushing plays, and the time of possession difference was minus 5 minutes and 22 seconds. In this Super Bowl, he was outscored 21-0 in the fourth quarter. He threw the ball 12 times and only ran the ball twice, and the time of possession differential was minus 2 minutes and 32 seconds. So once again, Kyle Shanahan has shown when the biggest moments arrive as a play caller, he comes up short. And he did not help the San Francisco 49ers in any capacity close a deal on the Kansas City Chiefs, because when you're going up against Patrick Mahomes, you got to slam the door shut. You can't leave any kind of room for air, because Patrick Mahomes will take advantage of it. Patrick Mahomes, after his second interception, he went 8 of 13. He threw for 114 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, with a passer rating of 129. So Patrick Mahomes took advantage.
He caught fire, man.
He caught fire. Patrick Mahomes took advantage of Kyle Shanahan leaving the door open for the Chiefs to take advantage of, and they did.
Yeah, it was just – it's just sick. It just – I like – for Mahomes, he just got that Mahomes effect on him. He makes other quarterbacks compete against him. Not saying like it's a bad thing, but it really is a bad thing for the 49ers, because their strong asset is running the ball. They didn't run the ball enough. And you know, they average 6.5 rush a carry. That's a first down every drive. And they just didn't stick to their game plan. They wanted Garoppolo to compete with Mahomes, and that was a bad — that's a bad thing. That was bad coaching on Kyle Shanahan, man.
Yeah, and Kyle Shanahan showed in this game that he didn't believe in Jimmy Garoppolo. And all week long, Clarence, we heard the San Francisco 49ers talking about, we believe in Jimmy G. We believe in Jimmy G.
Yeah.
But Kyle Shanahan didn't believe in Jimmy G. Because at the end of the first half, the Niners got the ball with a minute left. And the score was tied, 10-10. They had no urgency to put any points on the board. And they didn't want to even get a field goal range. Like, it seemed like they had no urgency. They was playing slow. And the only reason that they even threw that long pass to Kittle, which got called back on the pass interference, the only reason they even did that was because Kansas City called a timeout. The 49ers didn't call a timeout. It was the Niners that did it. So they played very conservative. I didn't like that, because I feel like you're going up against Pat Mahomes. You got a minute left, 3 timeouts. You got to try to put some points on the board. Like, double up, because they got the ball after the half. You got to double up in those moments. They didn't do it.
Yeah, they did. And they, like you said, this Kansas City defense against a rush, it's ranked 26 in the NFL. Yeah. You're supposed to take advantage of that. But I just see it just seemed that Kyle Shanahan wanted Jimmy G to compete against Mahomes, and if it failed, failed it.
And
man,
even John Lynch was signaling for a timeout in the booth.
He
was signaling for a timeout in the booth. Like, what are you doing? What? Like, I was surprised that he didn't call down to the sideline and ask Shanahan, what the hell were you doing? Like, what's going on here? But I didn't like the offensive pass interference on George Kittle. I didn't like that call. I felt, because that was the same play that happened in the Minnesota New Orleans matchup. When Rudolph, they said Rudolph, that was a pass interference. I've said let him play. I didn't think it was pass interference. I didn't think the Kittle play was pass interference. Yeah. It's questionable. It can go either way. But I thought it was questionable. But I'm going to be honest, man. In this matchup, I really felt like, I can't believe I'm actually saying this, Jimmy Garoppolo outplayed Pat Mahomes for the first 3 quarters of this game. He really, really did. In the first 3 quarters of this matchup, Jimmy Garoppolo had an 85 completion percentage compared to Mahomes' 64 completion percentage. Jimmy Garoppolo had 183 passing yards compared to Mahomes' 145. Garoppolo, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. Mahomes had 1 interception. And then Jimmy Garoppolo also had a 100 passer rating compared to Mahomes' 62 passer rating. So in the first 3 quarters of this game, Garoppolo outplayed Mahomes.
All the pressure just fell on him at the end. He just couldn't compete at that high level when it matters.
He didn't.
That's what makes Mahomes great, man.
Yeah, he was terrible in the fourth quarter. In the fourth quarter, Garoppolo went 3 of 11, 36 yards, a quarterback rating of 3. That's not going to get it done going up against a legend in Patrick Mahomes. So it's just amazing when I look at the statistics of this game, Clarence. On Monday, I was confused. Like, yesterday, I was sitting there looking at him like, man, the Niners dominated this game.
Yeah.
And they lost. Like, it made absolutely no sense, but I will give you an analogy. It's like kind of like the Golden State Warriors. You can play the Golden State Warriors tight and play them real great for like 40 minutes. All Steph, Clay, and KD, and Draymond needed was about 4 minutes. 4 minutes, and you down 10. You're like, what? We played a complete game. Yeah. We played great. That's the same thing what happened in this matchup against the San Francisco 49ers and Patrick Mahomes. The 49ers played great, but in the fourth quarter, when it mattered the most, Patrick Mahomes showed why he's the best quarterback in the NFL.
So let's rewind back to Patrick Mahomes. Do you think he deserved the Super Bowl MVP?
No. He did not deserve Super Bowl MVP, but the NFL had to give it to him because he's a quarterback. He's the face of the NFL. So they had to give him the NFL MVP. I felt like Damian Williams deserved NFL MVP for the Super Bowl. Damian Williams went 17 carries, 104 rushing yards, one touchdown. I think he had four receptions for 29 yards and one receiving touchdown as well. I think Damian Williams deserved Super Bowl MVP over Patrick Mahomes.
Or maybe
Patrick Mahomes struggled. For a majority of this game, for the first three quarters, Patrick Mahomes did not play like an elite quarterback, Clarence. He didn't. He was getting outplayed by Jimmy Garoppolo.
So Garoppolo was playing like an elite quarterback in these first three quarters?
In the first three quarters, Garoppolo was managing the game. I'll never say elite with Jimmy Garoppolo. I'll never mention elite and Jimmy Garoppolo in the same sentence, but he was managing the game for the Niners. But Patrick Mahomes did not deserve Super Bowl MVP.
I still think he deserved the Super Bowl MVP, regardless of Damian Williams playing at this great level. Mahomes was a key factor into this team. Everybody on the team believed in Mahomes. They believed that he can still win this game with them. And he did. He helped them win this game. But you needed other players to come in and help out and execute in the game, man.
But he had two bad interceptions. He fumbled twice. He got them both back. Yeah. He fumbled twice. He didn't play well. Like, and I want to let everybody know, because I'm on Twitter.
He just had to warm up, man. You just got to warm up.
I'm on Twitter, and you're part of this too. I'm on Twitter, and everybody, I'm getting sick and tired of this Patrick Mahomes train. Like, I'm tired of everybody is ready to induct Patrick Mahomes right now in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Like, just cancel the rest of his career. Let's go ahead and sit in the Canton, according to you and a lot of other people. Like, Patrick Mahomes didn't play well in this Super Bowl. And ain't nobody calling him out on it. He didn't play well. He struggled. He was very pedestrian those first three quarters.
Man, I'm telling you, Trey, man, this is like a Michael Jordan in the making. He's still young.
Oh, don't compare that man to Michael Jordan.
Listen,
stop.
Man, I see a lot of potential in this kid, man. I see more Super Bowls. I see more Super Bowls for this Chiefs team, man. If Mahomes still under center, man.
But Michael Jordan, this is the thing too, because I believe you can't really compare sports. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like MJ, he could control what happens defensively with the Bulls. He could control that. And this football is so many things that have to go right. You need so many parts of your team to play well. You know what I mean? Like, in this matchup, Tyreek Hill, he played well as well for the Chiefs. 9 receptions, 105 receiving yards. That one interception that Patrick Mahomes threw, you can make an argument that Hill should have caught that pass, but it was still behind him. But you get your hands on, you
got
to catch the rock.
I still think that Mahomes got what Michael Jordan got, that killer instinct and that leadership and clutch moment when it's needed, man.
The Kansas City Chiefs overall as a team this postseason has made a habit on making comebacks. In the Houston, Texas game, they trailed by 24 to Houston, Texas.
24.
They won 51-31. In the AFC Championship game against the Titans, they trailed by 10. They won 35-24. And obviously in the Super Bowl, they trailed by 10 heading into the fourth quarter, and they won 31-20. But when you look at this matchup, the key play in this game, Clarence, was that third and 15 play. That third and 15 play, because I was watching the game and I said, if the Niners get a stop here, the game is over. This is the game. Yeah. This is it. On that third and 15 play, with 7 minutes and 17 seconds left in the game, the 49ers had a 96% chance to win.
Jesus.
They had a 96% chance to win, and basically Patrick Mahomes rolled back and threw the ball, and that ball was also underthrown. Tyreek Hill had to wait on the pass. That ball was underthrown, but it fell into his arms. The safety got turned around, and we know the rest of the story.
Let me just say this. Big shout out to Chris Jones on the Chiefs D-line, man, because in the fourth quarter, he batted every ball Garoppolo threw. So that was key for this. It was key for this Chiefs defense to overcome, man. I just think this Chiefs defense, they came up. This was their time. They felt like the underdogs, because they kept talking about how good this San Fran's defense is, and they wanted to prove everyone that this defense is good.
No, they got bailed out by Kyle Shanahan. They couldn't stop the run,
no,
Clarence.
No,
Kyle Shanahan bailed them out.
That's Kyle Shanahan's fault. His game plan, I thought the game plan for the 49ers, run the ball. Because the Chiefs' rush defense is not that good. But Jimmy Garoppolo in this, man, he wanted to compete against Patrick Mahomes. And that was the wrong thing to do, man.
But this is the thing. There is no way in hell, when you got Jimmy Garoppolo as your quarterback, a situation where you should have more pass attempts than rushing attempts. Again, in this matchup, Garoppolo had 31 pass attempts, and the 49ers as a team had 22 rushes. That is not a recipe for success. That's a recipe for disaster when you go up against Patrick Mahomes.
Well, Moser only had 58 rushing yards compared to in the NFC Championship with 220. So that's a big difference right there, man.
Yeah, it just made no sense. I just feel like the Kyle Shanahan, he blew it again. And he has to show at some point that he can call plays in Super Bowls and win games. Like, you have to close a deal when you're going up against a great like Patrick Mahomes. He is a great. I give him that because he's had an outstanding 2 years. But he didn't close the deal. He left the door open, and Patrick Mahomes walked right through that door.
Yeah, I agree with you on there, man. So quick question before we go to the next topic. So how do you feel about Jimmy Garoppolo's performance?
Like I said, I believe Jimmy Garoppolo in the first three quarters outplayed Patrick Mahomes. Like, he was doing his thing in the first three quarters. I think he was 17 of 20 for the first three quarters. And then in the fourth quarter, he went 3 of 11, 36 yards, quarterback rating of 3.
Like, all that he was terrible. Just but you know fell on him.
You know what's so crazy? As bad as he played, the one key play was the overthrow to Emmanuel Sanders.
Oh, my goodness.
That was a touchdown. I was watching the game. When I was watching the game, I was with my cousins. And I told him, I said, the Niners just lost. I said, that was the play they needed. Yep. I said, that was, as bad as he played in the fourth quarter, had Jimmy Garoppolo made that pass to Emmanuel Sanders down the field, because he was double, but he got behind both the players.
Oh,
he got behind
them,
and Garoppolo overthrew him, and I said, he just lost the Super Bowl for the San Francisco 49ers. Jeez. The game is over. It's over.
I mean, Sanders could have died for it, but it was way overthrown.
It was overthrown.
Overthrown. It was like, oh, man, y'all just... You just had it.
Yeah.
But you just missed it, man.
Like I say, I go back to two key pivotal moments in this game. That's the end of the first half when Kyle Shanahan wanted to play it safe. He didn't trust Jimmy Garoppolo. Had a minute left. Three timeouts. He played conservative. Didn't want to, you know, try to get in field goal range or try to score a touchdown. You're going up against Pat Mahomes. Okay?
Yeah.
So it matters your competition. You're going up against Patrick Mahomes. You have to put points up on the board. He didn't do it. And then, like I said, after the Chiefs cut the deficit to 3, 20-17, first down, you get a run with Mostert, 5 yards. And the next two plays, you drop Jimmy Garoppolo back and throw the ball. It made no sense. Yeah. It made no sense. You got to dance with what brought you there. When you go to the prom, you go to the dance, you go with the girl you came with.
Yeah, not somebody else's
girl.
Not
somebody else that's looking better that night. You go with your girl that you came with. That's who you got to roll with. He didn't do it.
Yeah, it just bad. But hopefully the 49ers will rebound next season. All right, now, Trey, we moving on. Now, the emotional Lakers, you remember heard about Kobe Bryant and 9 others. They had gotten into a helicopter crash, and everybody in the NBA, it has affected them so much.
Yeah.
And you see, like, everybody got that mama mentality all going on in the league. So how you think the players feel about handling this tragedy of Kobe?
Well, I felt like Friday night, I didn't really expect much from the Lakers. I think emotions was too high, and I gave the entire team a pass against the Portland Trail Blazers. But even if even with the Kobe tragedy, I'm going to be honest, the way Dame Lillard playing right now, they still might have lost. Because Dame Lillard been on the tear. I'm going to be honest.
Oh, he's just a monster.
Oh, yeah. Over the last 2 weeks, Damian Lillard has made a case for MVP. If he can somehow elevate the Portland Trailblazers to be in a top 6 seed in the Western Conference, it might not happen. But if he can do it, he definitely should be in that MVP conversation. But I felt like Friday night, it was just too much. You see LeBron pregame with the speech about Kobe, and it was sad, man. I really felt like the players didn't really want to be out there. They really didn't want to be out there. And, you know, Saturday they got it together. They played the Kings, and they came out in the first half. They were on fire. They were on fire. They scored 44 points in the first half. They made 14 three-point shots, and they had 26 assists in the first half. So they came out on fire in the second game against the Kings on Saturday. But Friday, I didn't really have much expectations.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. Players, I feel like players want to get better each and every day. You know, most players, that's what majority of players wants to do anyway. But, you know, a lot of people, they lost their idol. They lost their friend. They lost their mentor. They lost their brother. And it hurts them a lot that he can't be able to see them, like, show their performance or the showcase. Yeah. But I would just say this. Lillard last 6 games, he been averaging almost 49 points. Yeah. He been going bizarre. Kyrie had a perfect first half, 10 for 10. He finished the game with 54 with 19, 23 shooting. Even rookies even play hard. Like Ja Morant and Zion, they play their roles well. And Trae Young and Luka, it just affected everyone. It even affected me. Like, hey, I just feel like I need to work hard, what I want to do. And seeing him just dying and just not being here, it affected me a lot, man.
I just think the Lakers also, though, I know I get what they're trying to do and what their intentions are, but I really feel like they shouldn't use this. Like, I feel like you got to know how to put this together and play well, basically. Like, you know, I feel like the Lakers, they got to do a better job of that. They got to do a better job of trying not to have the emotions get too much of them. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like this Kobe tragedy, you know, it was a terrible, terrible situation for everybody. But I feel like the Lakers, they need to still play well. Don't, like, I hear LeBron saying, I'm about to carry on the legacy and carry on the torch.
Yeah.
I don't want that, LeBron. You ain't never going to be Kobe. Emotions just flying in the air. Yeah, but LeBron ain't going to never be Kobe in L.A. Nah. Just be you, LeBron. Don't try to, no, no. You'll never be Kobe in L.A. You'll never be Kareem and Shaq in L.A. Like, that Cleveland, your town, okay? Let L.A. be Kobe's. Like, I think that, you know, I don't know about that, Clarence. I ain't feeling LeBron saying, oh, I'm going to carry on the torch. LeBron, just chill, play your game, do your thing. Because I think it kind of puts pressure on the rest of your teammates as well. Like, everybody else ain't cut like LeBron. Everybody else don't have that championship DNA. So it kind of puts more pressure on the rest of your team. Just play your game, keep doing what you're doing, and you'll have an opportunity, you know, in the playoffs to make some noise.
So, quick question. Do you think the Lakers need to make any moves by the trade deadline Thursday at 3 p.m.?
Yeah, I think they need to make a move for a player that can create his own shot. Sometimes when I watch the Lakers and LeBron leaves the game, they have no player that can create his own shot.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And can run the pick and roll with Anthony Davis. I think a player for the Lakers that would be perfect right now is Derrick Rose. I think Derrick Rose would really elevate the Lakers
Detroit
on another level.
Detroit is asking for a first-round pick for Derrick Rose.
I give it up. I give it up for D. Rose if I'm the Lakers. Because right now it's championship or bust. What are you keeping picks for? You're trying to win the chip. So I feel like you got to try to bring Derrick Rose over. And when LeBron goes to the bench, you can also have another player that can create his own shot, get to the rim, run the pick and roll with Anthony Davis. I believe that's what they need.
I think they just fine where they at right now. They just got to play what they got, play what they have now. If you can get somebody in the trade, I'll say just go get them. But I think they're playing just fine. They should to keep the rotation where they're going. I do agree with you. When LeBron get off the court, like, there's no other ball handler. Well, you really have Rondo, but you don't have, like, no dominant scorer that can ball, that can handle the ball handle.
Yeah.
And if you can get Derrick Rose, you get him. But Detroit, they can possibly be greedy and we need two first-round picks. But if it's there, I'll just take it. But I think they doing just fine, man.
Yeah, I think they need to add one more piece. But the thing is about LeBron James, I believe LeBron, when you look at his free throw percentage, he's shooting 69% from the free throw line. He got to get better at the free throw strike. Like, I mean, I hear LeBron fans, witnesses always talk about how much better LeBron is than Kobe and MJ. LeBron is not a good free throw shooter. Like, I don't really trust LeBron in the playoffs going to the free throw strike. Like, I trust other players in the NBA. Like, I trust Steph Curry going to the free throw line, Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard. I don't trust LeBron when he go to the free throw line. I even think Anthony Davis is a better free throw shooter than LeBron.
He have his days, man, when he not hitting free throws, man.
He got to get better. He got to get better.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Let me ask you one quick question about the Clippers. Do you think the Clippers or the Lakers are more urgent to make a move at the trading deadline? Which team is more urgent, the Lakers or the Clippers, to make a move?
If I had to choose, it would probably be like the Clippers, because I honestly think they need another athletic big man.
Yeah.
Not like – Harrell is fine, but you need another big man to, like, rebound and play defense, because they got all the scores that you need.
Yeah.
And Kawhi, Paul George, and Lou Williams. Hey, I even like that Landry Shamet guy, because he's been showing that he want to be on this team. He wants to win. I'll say the Clippers, man.
I'll say the Lakers. I think the Clippers is set.
They don't have no legitimate big man.
Here's the only issue I have with the Clippers. Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, they haven't played together much this year.
Well, they played each other on Sunday.
Yeah, they did. But I'm saying they haven't really played as much as LeBron and AD has played together this year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they got to get some chemistry before the playoffs. You know, but the Clippers, they have that, you know, formula to where they want Kawhi to do load management. And, you know, Paul George has been dealing with an injury as well. So they kind of been in and out of the lineup. They haven't really been consistent. But I look for Doc Rivers and that coaching staff to have Kawhi Leonard and Paul George in the lineup more consistent after the All-Star break.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. And they do got the better lineup and the better coaching in L.A. and with the Clippers too, man.
Oh, yeah. I definitely take Doc Rivers over Frank Vogel.
Definitely. Come on, even Tyronn Lue.
Yeah.
I take Tyronn
Lue. But I like Jason Kidd, though. He on the Lakers staff too.
Yeah, I love Kidd, man.
Yeah. Let's move to our Wiser Live segment of the week. Let's start off in Golden State. The Golden State Warriors are listening to pitches on D'Angelo Russell. So is it Wiser Live to say the Warriors should trade Russell?
Yeah, I think it's wise. Because I think Minnesota is very aggressive of getting him. And I've seen news today. There was a four-team trade that they want Russell so bad. And the Warriors, I think they're trying to dump that big salary off because they paid Russell a lot of money. So they're trying to dump that off to a team that will pay it. I think it's wise, man.
I think it's wise, too. Because I feel like when Steph Curry and Klay Thompson come back next year, I don't see how these three can coexist. I really don't see how D'Angelo Russell fits with Golden State. The trade made no sense to me when they made the trade.
Yeah.
So I think they need to dump D'Angelo Russell and get some draft capital. I just don't feel like D'Angelo Russell was a good fit with the Warriors and what they're trying to do.
Like sources said, they wanted to see D'Angelo Russell, Steph Curry play together. But here's the thing: Steph not coming back until March. D'Angelo Russell can be gone by Thursday.
Yeah, I don't even think Steph Curry should play this year. To be honest, that's just my opinion.
I think he's going to get a couple shots, so you know, get his hand loose. But I agree with you. I think he should not play, man.
Let's move on. As the LA Chargers and head coach Anthony Lynn agree on a contract extension, so is it wise or lies to say that Lynn is the right man for the job? Is that wise or the lie?
I think that's wise, man. I think that he's a building staff of moving forward, because you already not going to bring back Phillip Rivers, so you want to keep the coach. And you want to build around him, man.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's wise to keep Anthony Lynn. He has a career record of 27-24 as a head coach. He's won 52% of his games. We've already heard that the Chargers are moving on from Phillip Rivers. So I believe if you give Anthony Lynn an opportunity to bring in his own quarterback and coach up his own quarterback, bring him in his system, I think you can get some success from Anthony Lynn and the Chargers. So I think that's wise.
I agree with you on that one. So Antonio Brown said, I could have done a lot of things better. So is it wise a lie to say AB play his last game in the NFL?
I think that's a lie. I think a team will give Antonio Brown an opportunity if he can have control over himself. That's the key. Can he control himself? If he can do that, I think a team would give him an opportunity to play on their roster. This year, the New Orleans Saints, late in the season, Clarence, they brought AB in for a workout. So if AB could contribute to a team and help them win football games, I definitely believe he can have an opportunity in the NFL.
I think that's wise, man. He's been in a lot of situations, man, and it's affected his game plan. I think he played his last game, man. AB needs some serious help, man. Let's just be honest. He needs help, man.
Yeah, he does.
I think that's wise, man.
Yeah, I think it's a lie. I think AB will get a chance back in the NFL.
Right. Okay. So Trey, is it wise or lies that James Dolan needs to sell the New York Knicks?
I believe that's wise, but he's not going to do it, but it's wise. If you're a Knicks fan, you want him to sell the New York Knicks. And by the way, today we had breaking news that the Knicks fired President Steve Mills. And you were in, it's funny because Clarence always write me and Jordan, we talk about our show before we come on.
Yeah.
And you wrote it in the group chat, and I said, who cares? I don't care about nothing with pertaining to the Knicks. Like, I could care less, but I get his breaking news. But I think it's wise to say that James Dolan needs to sell the New York Knicks, but he's not going to do it.
Yeah, I think it's lies, man. I think the best move for him was firing Steve Mills, because everything didn't go their way. And Madison Square Garden, that's one of the biggest arenas in the NBA, man. You got to sell that out, and you need the right core to build around it, to make a better team, man.
Yeah.
Like New York Knicks 2012 with Melo and Stoudemire, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, coming into the season, everybody was talking about the NBA and balance. We were talking about the Sixers with Embiid and Simmons. We was talking about the Rockets with Westbrook and Harden, the Lakers with AD, LeBron, Clippers with Paul George, Kawhi. So here's our question. Is it wise or lies to say that NBA is balanced right now? Is that wise or is that a lie?
I think it's wise, man, because you see, you honestly seeing everyone compete against each other. And you see top teams lose to like irrelevant teams. And I think it's balanced enough because everyone is getting a piece of everyone. And everybody's playing at that high level competitiveness. And I think it's wise. It's wise, man.
That's a lie. I don't believe it. I don't think believe yes, the balance.
Yes, it's a lot of stars on the Western, so there's more competition on the West. But the East is coming up, man.
I think it's a lie. I believe it's only legitimately three teams that could win the NBA championship. And two of them in the Western Conference. That's the Lakers and the Clippers. I believe in the East, you don't disagree. We're going to talk about my boy Cam in a minute. Oh, I'm not going to say Milwaukee. Listen, I'm a Packers fan, but I don't believe in Milwaukee Bucks. It's the Boston Celtics. Boston Celtics, the Lakers, and the Clippers are the only teams that have legitimate title aspirations. I think it's a lie to say that it's balanced.
No, Milwaukee is literally the number one team that's gonna win it, man.
Yeah. But it's that time of the show. We're gonna bring in our guests for the week from Timeout with Coach Cam. We're gonna bring in my man Cam Chancellor. From Time Out with Coach Cam. What's up, Cam?
Big Cam!
Hey, what's going on, y'all? What's going on?
Nothing much, man. Go ahead and shout out your Twitter, your Facebook, Instagram, bro, all that.
Hey, yeah, man. I have a show, Time Out with Coach Cam. On Facebook, we have our own page, Time Out with Coach Cam. Instagram, Time Out_with Coach Cam. Twitter, Time Out with Cam. So definitely excited. You know, me and my homegirl, Ash Nicole, we really kind of, you know, put this together and, you know, just excited, you know, about the growth and, you know, just to continue to keep on pushing.
Yeah, for sure, man. Go and follow my man Cam on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and ask Nicole as well. But Cam, we got to start off with Super Bowl 54.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, man.
So you heard me and Clarence talking about it. So we're going to ask you the question.
Mm-hmm.
Did the Kansas City Chiefs win this game, or did the 49ers lose it?
Oh man. The 49ers smoked that game like a pack of Newports, baby.
Yeah.
They smoked that game. Easy. You know, up 20-10, I'm looking at the game, and I'm like, I don't see Kansas City doing it. And then Kyle Shanahan became a trick artist in the fourth quarter of Super Bowls. Like you said earlier, 46-0 in fourth quarters and overtimes of the Super Bowls.
Yeah.
You just got to find a way to continue to run the football. It's the same thing that they did with the Falcons. You're up 28-3. Devontae Freeman was having a good game, and you stop running him. You want to air it out. And I just think these coaches want to prove that their quarterback is the guy, and that they pay this money, and they want to show the return in their investment. And they're losing big games because of it. There's no reason why Jimmy Garoppolo should have been throwing 31 times in that football
game.
Exactly. Yeah, the 49ers lost that game. Chiefs didn't win it. They gave it to him on the silver platter.
Yeah, I agree, man. I really believe Kyle Shanahan dropped the ball, because we all know Jimmy Garoppolo is not elite. Like, yeah. He's not elite by any stretch. And I understand that the 49ers and Kyle Shanahan want to show why they gave Jimmy G $137 million, even though he didn't deserve it. I understand why they want to show it, but porn star Jimmy ain't ready for those moments, man. He's not the kind of quarterback that can carry you in those key pivotal moments. And I feel like, Cam, like I told Clarence earlier, I feel like you got to dance with what brought you there. What got the Niners to the Super Bowl was that rushing attack with Breida, Mostar, and Coleman. And he got away from that in the fourth quarter when Mahomes put the pressure on the Chiefs.
Yeah, and it is not pretty football, but I know a coach I coached with this year, and we were running the same play over and over. He said, man, you dance with the same ugly chick in the corner all night if it's working.
Yeah.
If it's working, yeah. You dance with the same ugly chick all night. Yeah. I mean, you got
one. I'm jamming with her.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it may not be pretty, but you're getting it done. And, you know, and I'm just shocked they went away from that run game, because they got them there all the way. And then, you know, like, the Super Bowl, they just froze up.
Like, Kev, did you even see the last 2 minutes in the game when they ran the ball and they got like 12 yards off that run?
Mm-hmm.
And you just look at it like, where was that at all through the game, man?
Yeah, they stopped. In the beginning of the fourth quarter, they stopped. And they wanted to prove, like I said, you know, that they, you know, that they paid the money to their quarterback. And it's just like, it was almost like the Russell Wilson thing. If you go back to it, they wanted to prove and push Russell on this pedestal. And he could have been a two-time Super Bowl champion. And we're talking about Russell Wilson in a totally different light. We're talking about him as one of the best quarterbacks in the league. I mean, we still do discuss him, but I feel like he still don't get enough respect.
I agree.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And I thought that extra Super Bowl would have propelled him into the top elite, you know, group of quarterbacks.
And you know what else happened in this Super Bowl? Because it happened again.
What?
Richard Sherman right now is 1-2 in the Super Bowl. He can easily be 2-1. He can easily be 2-1. Now, he got cooked a little bit in this Super Bowl.
Oh, he got cooked.
He got cooked in the Super Bowl. I mean, I got a lot of love for Richard Sherman. But he got cooked in this Super Bowl, for sure. But look at this. Here's the thing. In this matchup, the Kansas City Chiefs, they had 29 rushing attempts. The Niners had 22. If somebody would have told me before the game the Chiefs would have more rushing attempts than the Niners, I would have told you, stop talking football. You don't know what you're talking about. Like, that's not going to happen. And it happened. It made no sense. So my question for you, Cam, my other question is, we talked about Patrick Mahomes winning the Super Bowl MVP, and I see you made a post after the game.
Yes, ASAP.
Do you believe Patrick Mahomes deserves Super Bowl MVP?
No. I'm not going to give a player credit for digging them out of the hole that they put them in. That's my whole thing. He dug you that hole by not playing like Patrick Mahomes. So are we going to reward him for digging the team out of the hole that he helped put them in? No, I thought Damian Williams should have won it. He kept them afloat that whole game, up to the first three quarters. He kept them afloat and kept them in the game. And I thought he was the consistent piece throughout the whole game, not just fourth quarter or 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You got to look at the totality of the game. Like I said, he had 4 catches, 29 yards and a touchdown. 104 yards and a touchdown.
Yep.
You know, it's just, I mean, they just might as well make it a quarterback award. I mean, if that's the case, because it's unfair to Damian Williams. He should have won that. But, you know, Mahomes is the new face of the league.
Yeah.
And they was not going to give him Williams that Super Bowl MVP if he deserved it or not.
And that's how I feel. That's how I feel. I feel like when you look at that commercial, the NFL, when they look at that commercial, I'm going to Disney World. They wanted to see Patrick Mahomes' face.
That was like the biggest image for them.
Yeah, they wanted to see Patrick Mahomes, not Damian Williams. I had an issue with that, because I felt like, of course, we know Patrick Mahomes is the best player on the Chiefs.
Yeah, I've known
but Damian Williams was the more consistent player on Sunday in Miami for the Chiefs. He was a more consistent player. And like I said, Cam, and I told Clarence this on numerous occasions, and I talk with my cousins because they just riding this Patrick Mahomes train right now. They ready to induct Patrick Mahomes into the Pro Football Hall of Fame right now. Like, they ready to sign his letter for intent. They ready for him to be there. How do you feel about Patrick Mahomes overall as a player?
I'm not going to lie to you. I think he's a great quarterback. I think he's going to be here to stay. But I be careful about saying winning multiple Super Bowls and things like that, because I thought Aaron Rodgers would be one. No offense, Trey.
But I thought by now
Aaron would have at least two or three when he won, when he beat the Steelers. And he only has one. It just goes to show you how hard it is in the NFL. And then you have to look. Patrick Mahomes is on his rookie deal. They're going to pay him $200 million, which means you're not going to be able to sign some of these guys that you put around him on defense, on offense. So you may be stuck in a Packers-like situation where it's just Aaron Rodgers by himself. He got to do it all by himself, and he can only get you so far. It's a team game.
I got to admit something to y'all, okay?
Let me hear it.
I want to admit something to y'all, because from about, I'll say, roughly 2012 to 2017, I felt like, and most people felt like, the experts, that Aaron Rodgers was the best quarterback in pro football.
Yeah.
This before Patrick Mahomes had his first start with the Chiefs. Everybody felt like Aaron Rodgers was the best quarterback in pro football.
I get that.
And so now I'm hearing all these quarterback conversations, and everybody is ready to give Patrick Mahomes the best quarterback in the NFL title and making it seem like Patrick Mahomes is already a Hall of Fame quarterback. And obviously I'm a Packers fan, but I'm pretty sure I'm speaking for Aaron, we feel a little bit disrespected.
I get it.
Clarence and Cam, because we feel like, wait a minute, hold on. We're talking about Aaron Rodgers, two-time NFL MVP, is the leader in touchdown and interception ratio, with the Super Bowl MVP in 2010 for my Packers. Like, I think people get a little bit disrespectful to my quarterback, fellas, and I ain't feeling it.
His Super Bowl window is closed, man.
It ain't closed.
It's closed.
It ain't closed.
I honestly think it's closed, because you see a brand new team in the NFC emerging because they hungry for this title, man. Yeah. I think his window is closed.
I'm going to tell you one more thing. I think another thing is, without Aaron Rodgers, there would be no Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes emulated his whole game around Aaron Rodgers. Ooh. Aaron Rodgers was Aaron first.
Hold on right there.
Oh, the mobility.
Hold your horses. Yeah.
I get it, but I mean, it's always going to be somebody that's going to come in after you and maybe do it just as good as you or maybe better. And you just said he's a two-time MVP. I get that. Mahomes is 23. He's already won an MVP. He already has a Super Bowl title.
Yeah.
He already has a Super Bowl MVP. He unmatched Aaron Rodgers in a lot of categories, what you just named, and he's 23. You don't think he got another MVP in him?
Hold on, no. But it's the thing, okay?
I told Clarence
if you would have gave Aaron Rodgers Tyreek Hill, the best tight end in pro football, and Travis Kelce, a play caller, and Andy Reid throughout the course of his career, I guarantee you Aaron would have had more than one Super Bowl.
Well, you had Jimmy Graham. You had Devontae.
Jimmy Graham ain't been good.
You had Aaron Jones. You had Devontae Adams.
Jimmy Graham ain't been good since he left New Orleans. He ain't been good since he left New Orleans.
But before, y'all was strapped on offense. Y'all had a health. Y'all had a prime Jordy Nelson. Prime Jordy Nelson.
Cam and Clarence, when has Jordy ever been mentioned as elite? Never.
Last season in Green Bay.
When was Jordy ever elite?
Jordy Nelson was always solid.
He was elite.
Was Jordy Nelson ever Megatron? Was he ever OBJ? Never. He was never on that level.
Was Jordy Nelson. Jones?
He wasn't even better than Michael Thomas.
He was Aaron Rodgers' number one target. That's all we can say.
Yeah, he was number one target. That doesn't mean he was elite. He never been confused with elite.
He was a top
elite
receiver in the league.
Randall Cobb. He had durability issues. He was never healthy and available for Aaron when we needed him.
I thought y'all was pretty strapped on offense for a period of time. Now, lately, this year, y'all was kind of dusting. Y'all need some help. Y'all need some help with skill positions, wide receiver. Y'all need a tight end. Jimmy Graham, old.
Yeah, Devontae a true number one, though.
Oh, yeah, Devontae.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, Devontae the truth. He's the real
deal.
For sure.
But I think Patrick Mahomes on his way, man. I think he's on his way, though.
Let's talk about that. Next year, who should be the favorites heading into next season?
Yes, who should be the favorites, Kent?
It's on me.
It's on you.
Yeah,
that's a good one. Who should be the favorites? I always give credit to the champions. I feel like the Chiefs should be the favorites coming in the next year. They're going to have Patrick Mahomes. They're going to have Tyreek Hill. They're going to have Williams. They're going to have Kelce.
Yeah.
That defense is still going to stay intact for the most part. And I've looked at a few mock drafts. They're looking to add a linebacker. particularly Kenneth Murray out of Oklahoma.
I seen that. I've seen that from your page.
I'm hoping he slides to 33 because I want him to go to my bench.
Yeah, but
if they sign him there, that helps the defense. And honestly, Kansas City defense get a bad rap, but it's okay. It's middle of the road. It's middle of the road, and that's good enough for Patrick Mahomes. Right. Middle of the road is good enough.
I mean, your players when they had to in the Super Bowl.
Your Packers defense was better than them. I can say that throughout the season.
Not in the NFC Championship.
Yeah, playoffs, they choke, man.
Yeah, because when I'm looking next year, we got to see what's going to happen with Brady. We got to see. I mean, with all due respect.
I think we got to see what's going to happen.
They got to put something around.
They still got – yeah, they do. I agree with you. That team in New England, they don't have no skill position players right now with Tom Brady and the Patriots. We also got to see what Tennessee does. The Tennessee balled out this year. They got Derrick Henry. They got to bring him back. We're going to see what happens. I don't believe in Tennessee.
Did you hear what he said? He said he wants contract. He wants Ezekiel Elliott money.
Yeah.
You think they're going to bring him back?
No.
Oh, I would.
And I see you drafted J.K. Dobbins. That's a smart pick.
In my mock draft, I put J.K. Dobbins going to the Titans just because even if they made – this is what's going to – it's going to turn into a Le'Veon Bell situation.
Yeah.
They're
going to franchise tag him. He's not going to want to play on that. And then he's going to come back in the middle of the season like Melvin Gordon and not perform right. This is exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm looking at the Patriots. We got to see what's going to happen with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. We all know the Kansas City Chiefs are reigning Super Bowl defending champions. They're going to be there in the mix on the NFC. I still think the San Francisco 49ers have the most complete team in the NFL.
It's a toss-up on that side,
Look, because I actually believe, tell me y'all disagree with this. Agree or disagree. Mm-hmm. I believe the Kansas City Chiefs, they aren't as talented as the 49ers. The 49ers, from top to bottom, have a better roster than the Kansas City Chiefs.
Defense side. On the defensive side.
To me, I'm talking about overall, top to bottom, they have a better roster.
I can agree with you on
that. It's just the Kansas City Chiefs have Patrick Mahomes. He's got the better quarterback, and he's the better player of all the other players on the 49ers. So the Niners, they'll be back. We got to see what's going to happen with Drew Brees and Sean Payton because they always in the NFC competing. My Packers, we're going to see what's going to happen with us. Minnesota. Kirk Cousins got his first playoff win. It's a whole bunch of teams. And football, I always tell people, it's not.
He's coming for that NFC North title.
Football is different than basketball. Because basketball, you can pretty much predict who's going to be in the finals.
Yeah, you have no idea.
The next year.
Yeah.
But in football, you don't know. Because injuries play a huge part.
Yep. Definitely. So, Oh, okay. Now, Cam.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to ask you this. And you say you a Bengals fan.
Oh, I'm a big one.
And I'm a big one, too, man.
Yeah.
Who you think the Bengals should draft with that number one pick?
Oh, it has to be Joe Burrow, man.
Are you even sold on Joe Burrow?
I'm sold on Joe Burrow. He checks a lot of boxes off for me, personally. It's more than just trying to rebuild and recoup picks right now, just because the Bengals are in a fragile state. They're in a fragile state with the fans. They're in a fragile state with the community. It's more. I get it. People want to say, "Hey, if they offer you this, take it. It's more picks." No, the reason why I say that, man. Look, that stadium down there at the last game of the season. It wasn't no 40,000 people down there.
Oh,
it had to be around 20 to 25,000. It was a disgrace.
Yeah.
And Joe Burrow, Ohio guy, you know, bring him in, your season ticket sales automatically go up.
They automatically go up.
People just want to see something different. We just tired of Andy. Because my thing is this. I don't trust the Bengals trading back. I heard people say, if Miami offers you them three picks, take them. We will blow all of them.
because
if it's not the obvious pick, the Bengals mess it up. But they don't mess up the obvious. They don't mess up the Joe Burrows. They don't mess up the AJ Greens. And they don't mess up the Carson Palmers. Give me Joe Burrow and don't look back.
Yeah, I agree with you on that, man. I definitely agree with you. He checks every box for a quarterback you need, man. And let me tell you this. He bets his game off of Aaron Rodgers. Your favorite quarterback,
not
man.
Not mentioning him in the name, same shit as Aaron Rodgers.
That's how great he
stop.
Is. Look. I can have an argument. To say he had a better college season than Aaron Rodgers did have.
I don't even remember Aaron Rodgers in college. That's why God love him, but I don't even remember him in college.
Exactly.
I don't even remember what he did for my Packers.
Look, Zach Taylor already stated he wants to draft a winner. Joe Burrow is a winner right there. And I think he'll be the number one stepping stone for Cincinnati. Yes, I'm not crazy to think he's going to take us to a Super Bowl. I'd be surprised if he took us to a playoff. That just show you how good he is. But I think he's a stepping stone for this team. And you was the one that was saying, hey, y'all should keep Andy for one more year and pay him that 17.
No. I said I believe the Bengals should move on from Andy Dalton and bring in another serviceable quarterback.
No.
And I think y'all should draft Chase Young. Here's the thing, though, because Cam.
No.
Hold on,
God,
Cam.
Because no.
I see Cam.
The Chase
no,
train,
here's the thing, though.
Please.
No, hold on, Cam, because basically Clarence is ready to crown Joe Burrow and induct him into the Hall of Fame.
Oh, no, no.
Clarence is ready. He thinks that Joe Burrow.
That's crazy, man.
He believes in Joe Burrow so much that he actually thinks that Joe Burrow is going to come in here and win a Super Bowl for your Bengals.
Oh, no.
Not realizing Mike Brown's still your owner. Your owner is still Mike Brown.
I'm not expecting
And here's the thing, though. When it comes to Joe Burrow as a player, I know he had a great year.
Great.
And I believe great.
One of the best ever.
He had one great year. But don't you have to ask yourself, as a Bengals fan, is he a one-year wonder?
He's not a one-year
wonder. So, because also, another thing is, he was playing with great weapons at LSU. He played with some great weapons. Like, I feel like those weapons that he played with.
Don't say they're going to be better than
the Bengals. They're going to be better than the Bengals weapons.
Man, especially come on,
hey, if AJ don't resign with the Bengals, your number one option at receiver is going to be Tyler Boyd. Tyler Boyd ain't your number one option at receiver?
Newsflash, we're going to franchise tag AJ. Oh, first off, and he said he's going to play under because AJ's not that guy.
Yeah, I should have traded AJ.
So, no, I agree with that. After last trade, get what you can get. But we're going to franchise tag him. Now, he said he's not going to participate in OTAs and risks, but I understand that.
Right.
But he'll be back for training camp. He'll play under that $17, $18 million that he's going to get. So you're going to have A.J. Green. You're going to have Tyler Boyd. And the wild card, I know he doesn't stay healthy, but when the first four or five games, he was top five in every category, John Ross. And I say if you give an accurate quarterback.
Yeah. Thank you.
Not Andy where he's throwing the ball on the deep balls out of bounds.
Yeah.
He throwing it short where you got to stop, wait, catch it.
Yeah.
Ain't none of that. It ain't none of that happening. He going to put it on the money. That's huge. Andy don't know how to throw people open. Sometimes you got to throw people open in that NFL and trust your players to go catch it. And you telling me that you give me A.J. Green on the outside, you give me Boyd in the slot, you give me Ross on the outside, and another player that emerged, I understand the Bengals 2-14, but a bright spot, Auden Tate. Was huge, 6'5", big body receiver, caught for close to 800 yards, and missed probably the last four games of the season.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we got weapons. And then you got Joe Mixon and Giovanni Bernard. And people say a lot about the line. The line is not that bad. If you look at the time that Andy Donald had, he's a one-read quarterback. So if that read's not there, he's tucking, ducking, and running or taking a sack. Burrow is going to go here. Oh, I'm getting rushed. I'm rolling out, and when I roll out, I'm still looking down the field to complete a pass. He showed that. He showed that plenty of times.
I'm just not sold on Burrow. Like, I was sold on Tua. Like, I know Tua what? Injury.
You know, you sold on Tua, and not Burrow.
Tua was injury prone, but Tua was better than Burrow.
I'm going to say this.
Tua was better than Burrow.
Tua was the slant man.
Yeah, that's the
think
real.
Think about all his touchdown pass. You see Ruggs running down the field off of a slant. You ain't seeing him really.
Burrow was throwing him on the money, man.
Burrow had a great year. He had a great year, and he played with tremendous skill position players. He played with tremendous skill position players. I'm just not sold. And I feel like you, the Bengals, you got the number one pick. This has to be a for sure bet.
This is a for sure bet.
This has to be for sure. Like, I'm not, and I feel like also because you got Joe Mixon, you don't need an elite quarterback. All you need is a serviceable quarterback.
We don't want a serviceable
quarterback. Come on, Trey. Now you don't need an elite quarterback.
You're making us settle for less.
I think Joe Mixon. I think you need to run the ball with Joe Mixon. Build a team around Joe Mixon.
No.
You can't build around no running back, Trey. Trey,
I know.
Don't do this.
But I just feel like Chase Young is a for sure bet. He's more of a lock to me than Joe Burrow. So I'm going to go with the lock. Yes.
No.
Chase Young is going to be a stud. Watch.
No. Burrow's going to be a stud, man.
Y'all don't think Chase Young will be a stud?
No. I think Chase Young will be good.
I think he is.
I think he will be good.
All them Ohio State boys be good.
But listen.
Not all of them.
But listen. Chicago gave up all that for Khalil Mack, right?
How many? Like four?
They gave up all them picks, right?
All of them.
Did they make the playoffs this season?
No.
How many handful of games did he impact? Not many.
Right.
And but your
pack, they're but, not a defensive end only going to get you maybe one or two wins a year.
We know what the problem is with the Bears. It's Trubisky. That's the problem with the Bears.
A quarterback, right?
Exactly.
Trey.
Right. No, I know. I understand that. But I just.
Y'all get him.
I just think Trubisky is more of a lot. Let's switch to basketball.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's talk some basketball, man.
And your Dallas. Fire it up, man.
Yeah, your Dallas Mavericks.
Woo!
Yeah,
Dallas. Luka been balling.
Yeah, he is, man.
So what's your expectations for your Dallas Mavericks this season?
I came into this season like on my show, the first episode, we did the top eight. I had them as the eighth seed. You know, my expectations wasn't that high.
Yeah.
Especially coming off a 25-win season. You know, you just got to, even with KP, you just got to kind of, you know, wait on that. But my expectations may be a playoff team.
Yeah.
I just need them to stay healthy because Luka's out. And then it's like when he comes back, then KP goes out. It's been like that the past month, and they haven't been able to play together. for this past month. But I expect them to be a playoff team, even though they started off hot. I think both of them together, we could be like a top five type of Western Conference team. But I think we'll finish around 6 or 7 just because of the injuries. I think it'll be a playoff team, but I think we will be a tough out for a number two seed like the Nuggets or anything like that. I think we'll be a tough out if we stay healthy with Porzingis and Luka.
I agree with you. I think if y'all get a top six seed in the Western Conference, y'all go home in the second round. I think y'all can win a first round.
I think we could. I think we could.
I do too. But if y'all get if y'all get a 7th or 8th seed, y'all go home in the first round.
I think we could beat the Nuggets in the 7 games.
Perhaps. I think y'all can possibly
If the Clippers sneak up to that two, we in trouble.
Right. If it's the Clippers or the Lakers, y'all lose.
Yeah.
But I agree that. I think if it's the Nuggets, you know, any of those teams, I think y'all have a shot.
Yeah, I think
Houston. I think y'all can beat Houston.
Oh, Houston. Look, we almost beat Houston the other night without Luka.
Yeah, that was ridiculous right there.
Put up 35. I mean,
the Pelicans almost beat Houston on Sunday before the Super Bowl.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, what is going on here?
Houston. Is so fraudulent.
They are.
And, you know, they look good from afar. And then when you get up and you just study them, they're just not good. I mean, one-on-one basketball, I only seen it work once in my lifetime. And that was when Kyrie and LeBron decided to be like, you know, we're going to do this thing.
Yeah.
And they went one-on-one on islands. But Houston just.
I agree. And the problem is, like, I've seen the data's report that they shopping Clint Capella. And they just
why?
Like that's what I said. Why would you shop Clint Capella? You need somebody to guard Anthony Davis and Jokic and Porzingis in the playoffs.
PJ Tucker is not going. He's not going to be able to guard everyone on the floor, man.
Like I don't. They won't have no answers. Like I think they don't. Daryl Morey, the general manager for the Rockets, they have no sense of direction.
I think they're just Daryl Morey just like to pull a whole bunch of moves just to say he's doing something.
Yeah,
makes no sense.
Like it made no sense to me when they traded for Russell Westbrook. I think they were a better team with Chris Paul than Russell Westbrook. It made no sense because I don't believe Russell Westbrook and James Harden can coexist. I don't.
I just think he gives them he gives them more energy than Paul did. But I get what you're saying though. But this Rockets team is basically just falling apart. Like every day they plan, every day. And James Harden, he's just not efficient enough to lead a team to the playoffs, man. And I can't say if the Rockets come across your Dallas Mavericks, if they're healthy, they can knock them off, man.
Oh, I agree.
I think they could for sure.
I think Portland can get them.
Yeah,
I'm serious. I think Portland can get
them. Portland is struggling for an AFC.
But Portland always beat Houston. Yeah. The times that they played this year, and I watched Portland always get them.
And you know Dane going to be looking to cook Westbrook.
Yeah, every time.
Oh, my God. It was a comment that Westbrook said. He said, I've been busting your A for years,
wow. Yeah, yeah. So they got a rivalry.
Oh, my God. So, Cam, who you think will win the NBA championship in your opinion, man?
I picked, at the beginning of the season, I picked the Los Angeles Clippers. I'm staying with that prediction for right now. Just because... you know, the whole load management thing, you know, and it tricked people. It tricked people. But Kawhi turns into a different animal when he's come playoff time.
Yeah.
I like the Clippers. I like what they got. I like their depth. And I like their coaching pedigree with Doc Rivers. And you got to look as far as the assistant coach, Ty Lue. That's another championship pedigree type coach that's over on the sideline. So I got the Clippers still winning the NBA championship.
My preseason pick was the Lakers because everything that you said was right. I think the Clippers are more deeper than the Lakers, and I believe Kawhi Leonard, you can make an argument, is the best player in the NBA.
Yeah, I agree with
you. I just believe that in a playoff series, I believe Anthony Davis and LeBron will be too much. That's my only hope. I think everything that you said, I think the Clippers got the coaching advantage. They perhaps even got the better player advantage with Kawhi over LeBron. And, you know, Paul George is a star in his own right. Yeah. And I love the tenacity that Patrick Beverley played with.
But I will say this, though, that I think Anthony Davis is going to choke more in the playoffs than Paul George is.
What?
Paul
George had all them playoff collapses.
I'm gonna say this though.
In bad moments,
he has Kawhi Leonard to lead him to help him get better in the playoffs. I agree with y'all saying that the Clippers is more deeper than the Lakers, but when you come out and look at the history, like Paul George had his runs. He made it to the. He led a team to a Eastern Conference Final
and came up small.
But AD never got past the second round, man.
Because he played in the Western Conference with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and the Warriors.
I mean, hey, experience over inexperience, man. That's all I'm gonna say,
man. But I believe that duo between LeBron James and Anthony Davis is the best duo in the NBA. I believe that, and I think that's what's gonna propel the Lakers in the playoffs. Again, everything that y'all saying about the Clippers is right. I've been wanting to change my pick.
See, I had the Lakers winning, but with the Clippers though, they give me the shakes like, man, can they really pull this off, man, in LA, man? It's kind of scary for real, but I still had the Lakers winning it because LeBron is always going to be LeBron, man.
Yeah.
And Kawhi guarding him for 48 minutes if he can. That's going to be a hard problem right there, man.
Let's switch to the Eastern Conference, Cam, real quick, because we were just talking about, you know, the Eastern Conference and the teams in the Eastern Conference.
Right, right, right.
Do you believe in the Milwaukee Bucks?
Yeah, I do. I believe
100%.
I believe in the Milwaukee Bucks, man. And the main reason why, like, you know, Boston, for me, I like Boston's team. Don't get me wrong. I'm so happy for Kemba Walker that he's finally winning.
Yeah.
Because he's been, you know, all-star and stuff for years. So I'm happy for him. I believe in Giannis more than anything. And this year, I think Chris Middleton will help him more in a playoff series. I think you see him starting to really come into his own. Like, the other night they was out, he dropped 50.
Yeah.
Chris Middleton dropped 50. The other night,
50 piece.
But the only piece that I'm worried about, and I've never cared for him, is Eric Bledsoe.
Yeah,
he go in those playoff big moments and lay eggs on you. Especially, I seen him lay all throughout the Eastern Conference Finals. Right. And you know, the support cast gonna really have to step up. But I think Giannis got that, you know, that dog in him, and that he ain't gonna allow the same thing to keep happening to him. Excuse me. The same thing to keep happening to him. So,
yeah.
I do believe in the Bucks. I believe in the Bucks, and I believe in Giannis.
Yeah, everybody knows I'm a Packers fan, but I do not believe.
How can you not believe?
I do not
believe
in the Milwaukee's basketball team. I just don't. I believe that Eastern Conference Finals last year, when Kawhi exposed the Greek Freak, it left a bad taste in my mouth. Like, I need to see.
He can't come back and improve on that?
I got to see him in the playoffs prove it. I got to see it. I still need to be able to see the Greek Freak hit consistent jump shots. I still need to see it. Like, and that's the issue for me. Like, I think he's a great player. Obviously, he's a top three player in the NBA, the reigning NBA MVP. I just need to see him in those key playoff moments make those consistent jump shots. But I believe the Boston Celtics have what it takes to dethrone those Milwaukee Bucks.
I disagree with you, man. This Milwaukee team, Giannis, is like the powerhouse for this team, man, right there. And Chris Middleton is getting better each and every day. Now, Cam, I do believe with you about Eric Bledsoe. I don't even want him to bring the ball up. I just want him to play defense because he got rewarded for, like, first-team defense. I just want him to play defense on Kemba Walker because I can see Kemba Walker scrunching him right now for a 30-piece right now, man.
And I want to say something, too, because I was wrong. Before the season and before Kemba Walker signed with the Boston Celtics, I said, like, well, I don't believe it's going to be a major improvement bringing in Kemba Walker. No, hold on. Wait.
You're a big Kyrie fan.
I was wrong. Yeah, I was wrong. I said, I don't think it's going to be a major improvement bringing in Kemba Walker over Kyrie. I was wrong. I don't mind admitting it. Sometimes, you know, I was wrong. I was off. Kemba Walker has better chemistry with Jason Tatum, Jalen Brown, and that entire team. And that's what it's about. Yeah. Like, he had way better chemistry with them boys than Kyrie did. And so he's playing well. I got an X factor for Boston, though, Jalen Brown. Jalen Brown can elevate his game and ball out in the playoffs, I really believe that could really help the Celtics in the playoffs, in the postseason, and they can really advance far in the postseason.
I'm just saying. I think Kyrie, he lost his moment because he said he lost his grandfather in Boston, so his focus was all off. So, yes, I just feel like he didn't want to play basketball in Boston anyway, in my opinion.
Kyrie is a cancer, okay? I'm not going to sit up here and, you know, he's a great talent. A great talent, but everywhere he's been.
Don't be disrespectful, Cam.
I'm sorry.
Don't be disrespectful, Cam.
Kyrie touch your squad, you get worse.
Hey,
get worse.
Hey, we talking about a 6-time NBA All-Star.
I don't care what
he's
we talking about.
He's a 22 points per game scorer.
I get it.
Shooting on 47% from the floor. And why, a great ball handler.
And why are the Nets barely scratching the 8 seed, sir?
Oh, because so, Kevin Durant, we were going to talk about the Nets.
We there.
Kevin Durant is injured.
So?
Exactly. That's, if you had KD,
they,
we know.
They had D'Angelo Russell last year leading that team with the same squad, and they finished sixth.
But Kyrie obviously hasn't been healthy this year. He's out right now. He got injured.
He always hurt.
He got injured against the Wizards the other night. Scary injury, too. Did y'all see it? That was scary.
Yeah, that
was scary, man. He missed 26. Right. I think he missed 26 games
earlier
this year with a shoulder ailment. So he hasn't really played. I believe in Kyrie, and I believe in the Brooklyn Nets once KD comes back. They need to add another piece. Mm-hmm. I think they need to add another piece like a spot up, stretch four, like Kevin Love or Paul Millsap. I think they'll be good with the Nets.
Kevin Love even want to come to Brooklyn to play with Kyrie?
I wouldn't want to play with Kyrie if
so
my life depended
on that. That comes to my next question, Cam. Do you think that Brooklyn Nets made a mistake signing Kyrie Irving?
Yes. Absolutely.
What? A mistake?
Absolutely. And here is why.
Tell me why, man. Tell
and
us
here, why. And here's why, man. It's more than just putting the ball in the hoop. It's more than, you know, being an all-star. As you can see, you remove Kyrie from Boston. You put an equal point guard in there. Boom. They much better. And the thing is, like I said, it's not all about the buckets. It's team chemistry. You got to spend 82 games, 6 months with a group of 12 guys. Y'all get tired of each other throughout the midst of the year. And then you come out and say, we ain't got enough pieces. Bro, what? What? And then you handcuffed yourself because you wanted to bring your friend DeAndre Jordan in there, who's a bum, by the way. He's a scrub.
Yeah.
He fell off this year.
They signed him to a $20 million deal, and they got a center that do the same exact thing as Jared Allen. You're taking his minutes, and he's younger.
He's taking his money.
Right, but I actually think Kyrie was right with what he said. But he shouldn't have said it. I said he was wrong about that. I think he was right. They are a couple pieces away.
You don't say it.
But here's the thing, though. Don't be disrespectful to Kyrie, though, Cam, because Kyrie Irving, we always talk about the closest thing to MJ was Kobe. The closest thing to Kobe is Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving got that mama mentality.
What?
He has
that. That was just one
game. Did I not see him in the 2016 NBA Finals?
Closest thing to Kobe is Kyrie Irving.
Kyrie is a killer. Kyrie got the killer instinct. Have y'all not seen this brother in the closing minutes?
This is terrible.
Who's the best closer in the game besides Kevin Durant? It's Kyrie Irving.
You can put right Kawhi there.
Kawhi, he's up there. But Kyrie a better closer than LeBron. Kyrie Irving.
I think you can make that argument. LeBron is a better closer than Kyrie, man.
Kyrie a better closer than LeBron.
Look.
Stop,
don't talk about that 2016 little moment, man.
Maybe Dame. But Kyrie is the ultimate closer. Don't be disrespectful to Kyrie.
I'll take Dame over Kyrie.
The Cavs wouldn't have won that finals if it wasn't for Kyrie Irving and his heroics. Come on now, fellas. Y'all be a little bit disrespectful.
I'm seeing what I see.
What?
I'm seeing where this young Brooklyn Nets team has a better record with him off the floor. Is that right or wrong?
Yes. But
okay.
Give Kyrie some time. He's been injured. Once KD come back to full strength, the Nets will be a team that's contending in the Eastern Conference because Kyrie Irving is legitimate number two option. He's a legitimate number two.
I think for this season, it's like you said, Cam, he has to build with the team while he's with them. And if he's not building that chemistry with them, their plan is failing. Even if KD come, if they don't have that chemistry, I think KD wanted Kyrie though.
And he gonna find out that he's a headache as soon as he touched that floor.
They friends. I get it.
They're
best friends.
Friends can end quick.
I believe in Kyrie and KD as a duo.
I think that duo can actually do something with it. It's just Kyrie got to build chemistry with the team. I honestly believe KD already is building chemistry with this team because they expecting what he is. Like.
Yeah. One more quick question for you, Cam, before we get out of here, man. How would you remember Kobe? You know, we had the tragic death last week.
Yeah.
How would you remember Kobe, and where does he rank amongst your NBA greats?
How I remember Kobe is, just making sure that, he turned over every page to make sure he got better. Remember Kobe just for his tenacity, his will to win.
Yeah.
And continuously being great, man, and, you know, not making no friends on that court. You know, he dedicated himself to the NBA, and it was just about him and his team only. But you realize that afterwards, you know, towards the end of his career, that Kobe was loved by everyone. He was a good guy. He wasn't this egotistical jerk that everyone made him out to be.
Right.
Amongst the top greats there, I have him top 10.
Easily.
I have him top 10 easily. I have him about five or six.
You got LeBron over?
Yes, I do.
No, stop. Oh, my God. We got to get out of here. But we got to bring Cam back on.
Yes, I do.
There is no way in hell LeBron is over LeBron.
Man, LeBron is that great, man.
It's no disrespect. And, you know, I'm not the biggest LeBron fan, James fan in the world. But you have to look at, the totality of the game. And LeBron brings multifacets, man. You know, he's going to pass. He's gonna score. And he just passed. I understand he passed Jordan, too. But he just passed Kobe. On the third all time scoring, he's not a scorer like LeBron is a beast, man. And we like I said, we on my show, we have to appreciate the talents while they're here.
Yeah. And we got to stop, you know, diminishing talent. He's a beast, man. And yeah. I do think LeBron is slightly above Kobe.
Yeah, I believe LeBron James is great as far as keeping himself in shape. You know, he always in tip-top shape in the NBA. That's one of the greatest attributes for LeBron James. Mm-hmm. But for me, I love a closer. I love an assassin's mentality. And I believe Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan were the two players that had that assassin's mentality. And I never felt like LeBron James had it. I always felt like Kobe, when the money was on the line, he had to make a play to win games. Kobe always did it. He never cared what the media said.
Did you not see them clutch shots that LeBron did in the playoffs? Like last year against the Celtics?
They made the playoffs last year.
No. With Cleveland, two years ago.
That was the best LeBron James, as far as being a closer, I've ever seen. That was the best.
What about, let's go back way back. Back in 2007 when he hit that three at the top of the key.
Oh, one shot makes you
one
clutch,
shot.
Huh?
No. I'm naming all the clutch shots.
And what else happened the rest of that series? They got beat by Dwight Howard in the match.
See, that was just...
But then again, you got to look at Kobe. They let the Suns come back 3-1.
Yeah, they
come
did.
Come on. But, I mean, it happens to a superstar. It happens. Yeah. And I can remember where Kobe said, you know what, I ain't going to shoot the ball at all. Forget y'all.
Yeah.
And he had his moments, too. So, I mean, it's like, great's going to have their moments. It's overcoming. And I look at Kobe, too, like, don't get me wrong. He was an assassin. He was going to take the shot. He was going to pull it. Kobe never shot probably more than 45% from the field. Efficiency matters to me too.
We're gonna get into that more, but Cam, we appreciate you coming on the show, brother.
Appreciate it, man.
Yeah,
appreciate
man. Thank you, man.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, shout out to social media real quick, bro, before you get out of here real quick.
Yeah, once again, man, Time Out with Coach Cam. You know, I have a Facebook page, Time Out with Coach Cam. I also we have Instagram, Time Out_with Coach Cam. Also Twitter at Time Out with Cam. Also, you can follow Ash Nicole on Facebook as well.
Yeah, man, thanks, Cam, for coming on the show. Clarence, we're gonna finish up here. It's that time of the week where we do Trey's Corner.
Yep.
And this week it is on Andy Reid.
Andy.
So Andy Reid, short for Andrew Walter Reid, was born March 19th in L.A. and worked as a vendor at Dodger Stadium as a teenager. Andy Reid played offensive tackle at Glendale Community College and then at Brigham Young University from 1978 to 1980. In 1992, Andy Reid was hired as an assistant coach by the Green Bay Packers. And that was the same year that Brett Favre became a member of the team. In January of 1999, Andy Reid got his chance to be an NFL head coach. And at the time, he was the second youngest coach in the NFL. The Eagles and Reid were the perfect match as they went to four straight NFC Championship games and a Super Bowl appearance in 2004. Reid's overall record with the Eagles was 130, 93-1, winning 58% of his games. And then after landing a job with the Kansas City Chiefs in January of 2013, Andy Reid went 11-5 in 2013, 9-7 in 2014, 11-5 in 2015, 12-4 in 2016, and 10-6 in 2017. This, Clarence, was all with Alex Smith. With Alex Smith, Andy Reid won 66% of his games. Reid is also ranked 7th all-time in total wins and has a career record of 207, 128-1, and has won 61% of his games coached. Everyone wants to praise Patrick Mahomes, and rightfully so, but let's not forget who discovered Patrick Mahomes, and that's the man Andy Reid himself. And in the post-game press conference, the reporter asked Andy Reid, what are you going to do to celebrate this Super Bowl win for the Chiefs? Andy Reid said, I'm going to go home, and I'm going to eat a cheeseburger, maybe even a double. So, Andy, eat up. You deserve it.
Yeah. Thank you, man. Hey, man, I just want to say this before we close the show. Andy Reid deserved this more than any coach that hasn't won a Super Bowl, because he worked so hard to get to this platform. Let's get it. Four or five straight to the NFC Championship game, and he came up short. This is a big congratulation for him. And this is a 100 NFL season that he accomplished this. It was 50 years that the Kansas City Chiefs won the Super Bowl. I am so proud of Andy Reid, and I wish him the best of luck for next season, even season after, if he can win more Super Bowls. But hey, Joe Burrow will be here, baby, so we'll be watching you.
Yeah. Remember, follow Wise Guys on Twitter at WiseGuys_H. Also on Facebook, Wise Guys. Follow us on Instagram at These Guys Know Sports. Great show, Clarence.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Shout out to my man Cam for coming on the show, talking some sports with us.
Time out.
Y'all enjoy y'all week, and check out the Wise Guys podcast on all the social media sites.
See ya.